This is Pure Decking, show number 363 for Thursday, August 29th, 2016. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and why does everybody think I'm about to snap at any minute? I'm Morps. I am drinking an old-fashioned, and tonight we have BSV. What's up, BSV?
Not much. Trying not to cough.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Damn trees trying to kill me. Always out there. Always there. Throwing out their damned pollen into the air. Laughing at us. It was, oh. And are you? What's up, are you?
Not drinking an old fashioned, just damn old fashioned. That's about it, man.
Is that how you make old fashions?
Isn't it gin? Yeah, I have no idea what's
going on. How's my going with the blood of old-fashioned people, but
bourbon, little bit of sugar, little bit of. You're supposed to use club soda. I skipped that. Bitters.
And isn't it orange peel?
You're supposed to put an orange peel in there. I didn't have any oranges, so we just skipped that too. So really, it's bourbon and some bitters, and not much on the. So it's just bourbon. It's really just bourbon. It's like
a deconstructed old-fashioned.
The way you make a proper drink is you get out. You get out the shaker, you get out your mortar and pestle to grind up your ingredients, proper bitters, proper greens, a shrub. You take that shit, you throw that shit all away, you pour the bourbon in the fucking glass, and you drink it.
Maybe put in an ice cube.
Only if you're feeling a bit, only if you're feeling a little bit wussy that day. It's like coffee. It's like, you know, all these people who, I love coffee. And what do? They go to Starbucks and they get something with more milk and sugar in it than anything. It's like, no. We want a double Americano or a red eye. There, enjoy your coffee. And then, you know, watch them, you know, destroy their life because now you've ruined something they love.
But isn't that the meaning of life?
You know, I don't know that life has a meaning anymore. Just trying to get through it with a high score. Anyways,
In Minecraft.
Setting those proper expectations. Oh, I'm trying to get to... Here's the image I needed. They're having a right proper discussion in the IRC. It's actually a proper discussion for IRC as well, debating, you know, which text editor was better, Vim and Emacs and, you know, stuff like that. And I can't paste that link into that IRC because I forgot it's running through remote access software. Son of a bitch. One moment.
Dude, KFC has a faux chicken now.
Yeah.
What
the hell?
All those jokes about KFC not really serving chicken, and they decided to not really serve chicken.
Serve chicken. Wow.
So how do If I go to KFC, I have to specify to actually give me real chicken?
Apparently. They have a new thing called Beyond Chicken.
I think Sounds Burger freaky, King was dude. Doing the same thing with, you know, not hamburgers.
Yeah. That and the four stories last week about getting rid of the taboo on cannibalism really starting to worry me about food security going into the future.
Normally, having most foods artificial, not what it's supposed to be, is a good sign of brain, a dystopia. Future.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the dystopian future movies I've seen have really weird food dispensary that's not quite food. Except for big ass fries. Now, who wouldn't want big ass fries?
Everybody likes fries, especially if they're made from a large ass.
I should probably get on topic one of the...
They're all giving me shit in the RC. It's like, why aren't you just running IRSSI? I don't know. The Docker image running XChat on my file server seemed like a better way to go. That's why it's logged in all the time now. I kept waiting to see some late night shenanigans on there by leaving it going all the time and was sorely disappointed. Anyways,
That's why I use Nano.
That's why you use that. Nice. I got in so much trouble at work because we brought in somebody new to the team a little while back, and they were still learning Linux, and they kept bringing up Nano, and I'm like, really? You're using Nano? Yeah, that was apparently upsetting to them. Because they thought I was making fun of them. I mean, I was, but neither here nor there. Anyways. So, I guess we can move into the first story here. This is from CNET. And, let's see. Harvard student denied entry into the U.S. due to friends' social media posts. The U.S. government's probing visa applicants' social media profiles apparently resulted in a Harvard student being denied entry into the U.S. on Friday. Ismail Al-Jawali, guessing on the pronunciation there, who lives in Lebanon, was questioned for hours at Boston's Logan Airport and ultimately had his visa canceled after immigration officials searched his phone and laptop, according to the Harvard Crimson. After the search, an officer questioned the 17-year-old about his friend's social media activity and told him she'd found some posting political points of view that opposed the U.S., the student paper noted. Despite Ajwai's A-J-J-A-W-I, I don't know how to say that. There's like too many vowels. Despite Ajwai's protests, the officer denied the student's entry and let him call his parents. Customs and Border Protection spokesperson Michael McCarthy said that in an emailed statement, he couldn't offer specific details on his case or on Ajwai's case due to confidentiality clauses. The individual was deemed inadmissible to the United States based on information discovered during the CBP inspection, he wrote. Ajwai, who got a scholarship to study in the U.S., returned home to Lebanon over the weekend. He and the university are working to resolve the matter before classes start next Tuesday, the Crimson reported. Harvard didn't immediately respond to a request for further comment. So here's the thing. They weren't denying him entry based on things he'd posted on social media. They were denying him entry based on things people he was connected to on social media posted. You know, that whether it's somebody you're following on Twitter or you know, a friend on Facebook, right? They don't even really say. They just say social media. So I'm assuming it's probably Twitter.
So how do I know that someone that I haven't gamed with like 5 years ago that's still on my friends list, but I don't really fucking know them anymore due to all the shit that's happened in the last 10 years with the social culture war, isn't some rabid SJW now who, you know, throwing fucking kill the president shit around the place.
Well, clean up your friends list before trying to come to the U.S.?
Don't use... Okay, no. This is where you get into, you need to have multiple profiles. You need to have your Facebook and Twitter profiles that are basically your resume profiles and potentially the one you show your grandparents. And then you have one with a handle or pseudonym, which actually I think that violates most of their terms of service these days, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yep.
Well, now here's the thing. If you're not supposed to use multiple Facebook accounts, how come my phone, when I just set it up, because I did just replace my phone not too long ago, you know, said, oh, you can add a second and third Facebook account here. So like, well, I never added the first one, so go the fuck away. But, you know, the software actively supports multiple accounts now, so I guess maybe you and a business.
But it wouldn't matter under the guidelines of the entry into the United States because you have to give over all your social media accounts.
Well, the idea is that you wouldn't be actually associated via any discoverable links to the other one, right?
Would you want to take the risk, though?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be actively...
If you're not in the States, you don't have any rights against the Five Eyes.
So yeah, I don't want to be actively lying.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather, yeah, that was me, man. That was me 5 years ago. Yes, I said that. I own it. I wear it. You know?
Yeah, but that's assuming this isn't about anything he said. It's just he has somebody in his profile who said something that they didn't like.
Dude, there was shit said on old programs we did that, fuck, I'd disavow.
Sure.
But
that's the point.
I'm going to let it be said.
But that's my point is like, you know, oh, well, Mr. RU, we found these old copies of IHN. And, you know, we found this guy named Steven saying some things. So we're not going to let you into the United States because you're associated with him.
It's bullshit, man.
That's what they did to this guy.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just playing the defense here like I'm probably going to have to next year. That's bullshit, man. I'm not associated with that guy. I disavow most of what he said. Yes, that's my show. I did it every week. He was probably on there 40, 50 times. And out of all those times, he was probably methed out of his fucking skull 90% of it. Like,
And then they're just sitting there writing, so known association with drug users.
Go ahead. I know people in America, they're drug users. You have laws that are open for marijuana now. Just thinking the only way is that he fucking denied knowing these people and they made links to him. I don't think there'd be an American. I'm hoping that Americans would, you know, like their constitution and go, yeah, dude, you've got some pretty shitty friends. May want to fucking not hang out with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just going through my head like this is the first time I've seen this story. And it's sort of got my noggin going. I'm thinking, like, how is this going to happen? How is this going to play out when I get the whole, excuse me, sir, you've been pointed out for a special treatment. You know what I mean? You know, Ahmed, Mucha, are you? Yeah. Shit like that. So I've got to be accountable for everything you guys say now?
That's how they're treating this guy.
All I can think is he's fucking lied.
Okay, he's from Lebanon, and I think that is one of the countries that's on one of the, you know, be careful lists, isn't it?
But he got a visa for student visa and a school scholarship.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting
you'd
a
think
scholarship,
give some
you're right
over the words he of a friend on social media.
Well, this almost sounds
unless that friend's the head of Hamas or something. You know.
That might be questioned why you're friends with head of that, but
it was either be his friend or, you know, be his enemy. And I'd rather be, you know, in that land. I'd rather be the friends of the dude that's running around cutting heads off. But yeah, the only thing I can think of this story, Morbs, is he's lied. They've caught him out. And they've gone, well, you've shown yourself to be bad faith. Out you go, mate.
Well, and that's all
I can think.
That is a good point, though, because this is coming this is obviously from the point of view of the student, right?
Yeah.
And because when they tried to reach out to, you know, customs was like, yeah, no statement, because we can't comment on an individual's case.
That's perfectly fine, but having had the discussion with the scary man in the room, honesty is your best policy.
You know, when you're getting a freedom fondle.
Yeah, dude. Like I've always tried to be honest with their questions, because I have to think he lied about knowing people. That's all I have on that story, man.
Yeah. Maybe something that have to see if another update comes out.
I just don't like the concept that you can be held responsible for what other people post and shows up in your profile.
If that is truly the case, the only reason he wasn't allowed in, that is complete bullshit.
Yeah.
That you should not be held liable for the opinions of other people.
Well, I mean, if Facebook isn't going to be fucking held liable for the posts on Facebook, why should you be?
And also, if this is this is how they're going to determine if people are allowed in. Could be really bad if you're friends with an asshole that decide, oh, you're going to America? I'm just going to make some posts.
Yeah.
So, we've been going over your profile here, and we see you're associated with a Big Brother. So, we're just not going to let you in. He's an American, though. Yeah. Yeah, we're working on that. we know.
We see you're associated with Nigger Killer 68. Get a comment on that.
I thought it was just a very uncreative Xbox Live username.
Oh, dude, I had the greatest name last night. They were calling the quartering Boogie 1488. That was fucking hilarious. Anyway, got off topic.
Oh, God, can you imagine being held responsible for the comments if you had a YouTube channel?
Oh. I don't like looking at YouTube's.
There was a rumor that they were demonetizing videos based on shit going on in the comments. It's like, now that's just not fair. I mean, you have no control over that shit, other than just turning comments off, I guess.
I don't know, man. Living in a country where we don't have freedom of association, it's a very bad slope, dude.
Yeah. Hopefully that's not the complete story and he's saying something to cover something else up or...
I think he's playing the victim card. But...
So, move on.
Anyway.
Move on to this next one. This is one RU sent me. It's from the BBC. Facial recognition, school ID checks lead to GDPR fine. Whoops! A watchdog has penalized a local authority for trialing facial recognition on high school students in Sweden to keep track of attendance. The Swedish Data Protection Authority fined the Sveltia municipality 200,000 Swedish krona, which is about 16,000 euros or about $20,000, for flouting a privacy law. The trial involved tracking 22 students over 3 weeks and detecting when each pupil entered the classroom. This is the first time that Sweden has ever issued a fine under GDPR. The General Data Protection Regulation, which came into force last year, classes facial images and other biometric information as being a special category of data with additional restrictions on its use. The DPA indicated that the fine would have been bigger if the trial had been longer. So they're doing it by instance. Or by event. According to technology magazine Computer Sweden, Swedish authorities decided to investigate after reading media reports of Anders Thorpe's high school's trial. The local authority told Swedish state broadcaster SVT Nyheter in February that teachers had been spending 17,000 hours a year reporting attendance, and the authority had decided to see whether facial recognition technology could speed up the process. Well, you don't need facial recognition for that. Just give them all RFID badges and have them badge in and out every day when they go into the classroom. Hell, it's what you do at the office. It's good training. That's what school's for, is employee training, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting you in your 9-to-5, man.
So, you know, you got to carry a badge there. So, I'd just do that. Make them carry an ID badge and have them badge in and out. There you go. There's attendance. No need to do facial recognition shit. The trial, which took place in autumn of 2018, had been so successful that the local authority was considering extending it. Jorgen Malm, who oversees Antersthorpe's High School and Netterbooks, you just sent this to me to get me to try to say these fucking names, High School
Hell
for
yeah.
the municipality, told SVT that the technology was fairly safe. According to the DPA ruling, although the school secured parents' consents to monitor the students, the regulator did not feel that it was a legitimate or a legally adequate reason to collect such sensitive personal data. The regulator noted that although some parts of the school could be deemed public, students had a certain expectation of privacy when they entered a classroom. It said there were less intrusive ways that their attendance could have been detected without involving camera surveillance. As a result, the DPA found that the Skrivalta's local authority had unlawfully processed sensitive biometric data, as well as failing to complete an adequate impact assessment, which would have included consulting the regulator and gaining prior approval before starting the trial. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I sent you this story because there's a lot of stories like this, the UK trialing stuff. We've been doing it here as well. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm really not. And I know, oh, you got nothing to hide. Yeah, fuck that argument.
It's not a good argument because I don't have anything to hide today. I don't have anything to hide personally. But maybe I'm associated with somebody who has something to hide. Maybe they've got me on camera talking to Madman in person, and they know that Madman's a troublemaker. So therefore, anybody who's talked to him must be a troublemaker, and they're going to be denied a visa when they try to go to the United States.
Yeah, it's this whole report on your neighbor sort of shit, just to get yourself out of trouble. You know, dob them in now, save your time later, because you're associated with that person. I'm not real happy with the facial recognition software. It just doesn't lead down on a good path. No matter what you think about it, there's nothing good can come of this.
Madman, I see you up there, and I see you responding in the IRC. Are you like burning to hop down and respond?
Please save us, Madman. I don't have any nicotine gum this week. Dying for a cigarette.
User joined your channel.
It just doesn't get. It just, nothing good comes from this.
All right, Madman, you're about to explode. Go.
I had to pause, y'all, because you were echoing bad in my headset. In this, it's a public space. It's not like they're planting cameras in your home. You don't have an expectation of privacy.
They don't have that in the classrooms, you do.
But, dude, we did that Ring doorbell last week. You know, you start matching this camera facial recognition shit, and it's a full surveillance state.
Well, the problem with the Ring doorbell is that's your information that you should control. This is, I'm going to a public school. You have no control once your kids enter the door. There's a legal status that it's in common law. I'm not sure how long it's in common law, so it's possibly in Britain and in Australia as well, known as in loco parentis. It was set up mainly for boarding schools, but it applies to all schools.
Take your Harry Potter bullshit and fuck off. All right?
Teachers are able to act in lieu of parents as far as consent in most situations.
Yeah, that was addressed at the one of the schools I went with they signed a consent form to say that the teachers could beat us for any insurrection.
Well, now wait a minute here. Here's a serious thought. Okay, you've got these classrooms with these facial recognition cameras set up in them, and you've got, you know, most of the students, their parents have consented to this, and you know, so they're doing facial recognition for attendance and, you know, for the Amazon emotion training and to make sure nobody's about to, you know, get upset and, you know, pull out a weapon and go on a stabbing spree or something, you know, so that they can be detained and, you know, assume the party submission position or whatever. What happens when you have one or two students who their parents say, no, I don't consent to let my children have this facial recognition stuff go on? What happens to them?
I don't think you get a choice.
That's called homeschooling or private schooling. That's one reason I'm for the voucher system in the States.
Yeah, but this is in Europe.
Same answer would apply in Europe.
I thought they were a lot stricter on the homeschooling thing. Go ahead, BSV.
They might be.
So getting away from the privacy thing. What happens if, I don't know, a kid has an injury to their face and the readers stop reading their face? Do they suddenly... No.
Their parents are getting phone calls. Why is little Billy not showing up in class anymore?
But he's in class.
Or
the teacher probably has to verify the logs every so often.
Yeah.
In regards to Morpses, comparing it to your RFID badge, there's like four computer systems that know when I get to work and get to my desk. My supervisor still has to approve the logs.
So what if you have a pair of identical twins? Because, I mean, almost everyone who went to high school knew at least a pair of identical twins.
It depends on what optics they're using for facial recognition. If they're just doing what's visible, light visible to the human eye, it could be confused. But if they're doing thermal imaging, the camera's fine.
See, now I'm just envisioning the school putting up these cameras in various other places. It's like, well, I guess you don't want to put them up in the bathroom, but like under the bleachers and, you know, various other places. And it's like, oh, nope, there it is. There's the person doing the vandalization or whatever the hell. So
they already have cameras in a lot of hallways for that purpose and have since the 80s.
Yeah, I'm just
saying. There were cameras in our high school, Morps.
Yeah, I know there were. We used to point at them and laugh and... You know, we got Taylor to occasionally slap stickers over them because he was tall and could do that.
Got to catch them all. Pokemon stickers everywhere.
I don't think they were Pokemon stickers. I don't remember what they were. But yeah, he was going around putting them on the cameras, or some of them anyways.
Yeah, I just want to go on record saying there is no good that's coming from ever.
But what do you think they're doing with the database? Do you think they're actually turning it over to authorities at the end, or is it just getting wiped?
No, dude, I think it's being sold to private companies to further their camera technology.
Do you think it's part of the contract for whichever company is providing the facial recognition that they get to keep the data?
Yeah, I would have to think so. And then... Then no, it's not just that either, because you can sit down in front of those tapes for, you know, for the day and do behavioral analysis. And then you can start working, if you've got enough tape over enough timeline, you can start work on predictive behavioral analysis. So, and then you can almost like, well, hey, Billy goes to English class and talks shit for the first 15 minutes. Billy just doesn't do English anymore. You know what I mean? It's... Yeah. Dude, I just can't see any good coming of this.
So,
especially the metrics and some of the interesting predictive behavioral. I'm trying to put the words together correctly without sounding like a word salad.
Well, okay,
pre-crime. Like they're already talking about pre-crime.
Well, you put this together with the story we talked about last week about how Amazon's facial recognition software can now recognize fear.
Yeah,
I mean, you're going to end up with all kinds of automated responses anytime somebody stubs a toe or, you know, gets upset.
So Amazon can now detect fear.
Yeah, you've missed too
much. Yeah.
Yep.
And there's quite a few things they're getting close to predicting. I know the Chinese have got software and cameras all through their schools that predict it. Can do tell when a child's paying attention, when a child's bored, when a child's happy, when it's sad. And the only reason that their software knows how to do that is they've had enough time and enough data points to actually punch it in and for the AI to learn.
Well, on that, you can keep track of your children and the teacher and see, okay, this teaching method leaves them bored. They're probably not learning something. How do we correct that?
They're rolling out that, Madman, to where China will only need one or two teachers because everything will be broadcast. So everybody does math at this time throughout the country. And it's only the one teacher and it's all done on a screen.
that are the thing Amazon would be much more, or the Chinese government would be much more interested in. Well, you know, 65% of the students from this teacher's elementary school ended up as, you know, dissidents or protesters. We're going to need to bring him in and, you know, submit him for, you know, summary questioning and disappearing. So,
well, that's why they're getting rid of the teachers. There'll only be one approved teacher for the entire country, if you know what I mean. Because everything will be teleconferenced. Everything's on a screen.
On that one, it's not as much teachers, I would believe, as subjects. There are certain subjects that lead you to think for yourself, such as civics and philosophy.
Yeah.
Math teachers aren't going to have that problem. They're teaching a system, not a way of thinking.
One of the things with school is teaching socialization. A computer screen doesn't teach that well.
No, they're just going to combine it with the German pain station so that every desk they'll have, you know, a way of whipping your hand or shocking you or burning you so that when the state detects that you are, you know, not paying attention enough, not happy enough, haven't you know, praised the great leader enough times, or, you know, made a reference to Winnie the Pooh, you know, your hand gets slapped or burned or electrocuted. And
won't do that. They'll just use the surveillance to detect the proper time where they can make you disappear for a little while to go to education, then put you back so nobody notices.
No. It's much more interesting than that. You got to remember, China's one of the more Asian cultures where they're very family oriented. So the child doesn't pay enough attention at school. They get home and discover the government agencies have, you know, set up shop, and they're going to educate them by, you know, beating their parents.
As far as fewer teachers, that doesn't necessarily negatively affect socialization. As far as rules for basic behavior, by the time you're going to school, your parents should have already taught you that. So if you're left with children to interact with children at that age, you're probably going to learn conflict resolution instead of learning to run to the authority figure every 5 minutes. You'll actually learn how to solve a problem with a peer in a peer group. That's what we used to do with free play, and that's been phased out mostly in the U.S., and we're finding children are... They have a lot more problems dealing laterally with peer groups, and that's translated into workplace co-workers not solving their problems, more like running to management with piddly little shit that I'm very fucking tired of solving and glad that I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, when we were doing free play, I don't remember ever anybody ever getting stabbed with a barbecue fork. So, I mean, you know.
Children aren't generally violent because that can be said with humanity overall. And if you learn to solve your problems with a group, that's a skill that you will use for the rest of your life in every social situation you're in.
Yeah.
So free play isn't necessarily dystopian.
Well, I don't really think they'll be getting free play if they're cracking down to one teacher teaching the whole school or the whole country through monitors.
At that point, okay, and realistically, they'd have functionaries still running the school to make sure the students are chained to the desk and appropriately tased if they're not paying attention.
They're called overseers. They ride around on horses with whips.
Wait a minute. This got weird.
I've seen some of those shows. I thought they came from Japan, not China. No, China's kind of stepping into the market.
As long as they don't replace the screens with floating heads that spit out guns.
Show me what you got!
I think he's going for Zardos there. The sexiest Sean Connery has ever looked on screen. They dressed that man so you could smell him in your living room.
I think we've gone off topic.
It may be time for another article.
It is time for another article. I was trying to figure out how to work a Suck It Trebek line in, and it just wasn't going to happen. So let's see. Next article. This one is from ZDNet. Apple will no longer keep Siri audio recordings by default and makes the feature opt-in. Apple announced today that the way Siri handles audio recordings of voice commands and who gets to listen announced changes to the way Siri handles recordings of voice commands and who gets to listen and review these interactions. In a press release today, the company said that it's making this feature opt-in for all users on all devices. Apple plans to roll out software updates later this fall and ask users for their specific consent to make audio recordings of Siri commands and upload these files to its servers. And if you say no, your device shuts down.
They got tired of the cops asking for murder evidence.
I don't know what changed their mind other than just the bad press, but yeah, that could be. Up until recently, this was the standard. This was standard Siri behavior. When a user would issue a voice command, Siri would record the interaction as an audio file and upload it to the Apple server, where contractors would review the recordings as part of a Siri quality evaluation process named call grading. But Apple was forced to put a stop to call grading earlier this month after The Guardian reported that Apple contractors were regularly hearing more than they should, such as recordings of intimate moments, confidential medical information, or even drug deals. Yes, in the middle of a drug deal. Hey, Siri, what's cocaine go for? I got to price check this bitch.
I think it's more like Siri's always listening, and they were just getting 24 hours a day surveillance from whatever house Siri is in.
Yours is more accurate. Mine's funnier. So, the report garnered a lot of media and user attention because the practice was not known to most Apple users, being hidden under layers of privacy policies and terms of use. We know that customers have been concerned by recent reports of people listening to audio Siri recordings as part of our Siri quality evaluation process, Apple said today. We hear their concerns, immediately suspended human grading of Siri requests, and have begun a thorough review of our practices and policies. We've decided to make some changes to Siri as a result. Besides making the feature opt-in in a future software update, Apple also announced it was making Siri audio recording reviews an internal process only. Starting next fall, when Apple said it would resume call grading, only Apple employees will be allowed to review Siri recordings. Apple also said they plan to delete any recording which is determined to be an inadvertent trigger of Siri, and that going forward, for users who don't opt in, the company would use computer-generated transcripts to help improve Siri. More information or more details about Apple's improved Siri call grading are available on the support page.
Transcripts. So they're still going to record you. They're just not going to keep the recording. They're going to keep a typed out version of the recording.
Well, but they're assuming at that point they don't have the original audio to go compare the transcript to, because that's what they're doing. That's what call grading is. They're going back and saying, okay, here's the audio where I can clearly hear this woman asking Siri to find a recipe for chicken nuggets, and here's the translated text where it thought that you were asking how many grams were in an ounce. So, you know. But, and, you know, then using that to say, okay, Siri, you fucked this part up. These words should have been this. That's what it is. What this article doesn't talk about is how many contractors did Apple just lay off for doing this? How many people just lost their jobs because you can't listen to Siri recordings by contractors anymore?
It's not going to affect our unemployment figures. All those guys were in India anyway.
Oh, I know, but I'm just, you know, waiting for that article of somebody losing their mind, right?
Siri, how do I hide this damn body? The cops are on their fucking way. Give me the answer now. Worthless damn phone. Should have bought it, an Android. Cortana knows the answer.
Hey Siri, how do I hide a body? Yeah, Cortana would probably tell you, make sure you cover the body in a mixture of lye. And it's like starts giving you proper advice. It's like, what? Oh, well, it was trained by Microsoft employees. That explains a lot.
Now, remember, if you're dumping the body into the river, make a large incision into the gut so that gases can't build up in the abdomen and cause the body to float back to the surface.
If the body screams, it was not yet a body and was still considered another potential customer.
The gut incision will also help with this.
You're doing it wrong, man. It's chicken wire and large rocks.
This kills the crab.
In Minecraft.
For legal purposes, we should start ending a lot of paragraphs with that.
Yes, considering some of us still want to travel internationally.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay, this show is officially a comedy show, just in case anybody is wondering.
Satire. It's satire.
I mean, that's the same bullshit all the late night shows use, right? All this crazy-ass political shit, get people riled up. Oh, no, it's a comedy show. That's how that works, right?
Ooh, they're in-housing this. So if they're not going to have Foxconn listen to the recordings, I could get a second job.
Would you want to, though?
Want
to listen to normies?
The vast majority of these conversations will put me to sleep. It's the gold that I'm waiting for.
You just see Madman sitting at his desk with his headphones on, looking bored as shit, checking the acknowledge. Suddenly his eyes light up. He sits up. He leans forward. He says, ooh, yes, yes. His coworkers are getting visibly uncomfortable because of how excited he's getting. He pulls into his bag, pulls out an audio recorder, hooks it up to his headphones. It's like, well, I'm not allowed to have a cell phone
homicide.
In here.
Woohoo!
And management walks over and says, sir, we need to have a conversation.
Here in a moment, I think Daddy's about to take out the hamster.
In Minecraft?
Yes, BSV, in Minecraft.
And Rocket Snail. Next article is from TechCrunch. Man, that got dark.
Certainly did, Daddy.
Right. Next article is from TechCrunch. A UK group of climate activists is planning to fly drones close to Heathrow Airport next month in a direct action they hope will shut down the country's largest airport for days or even longer. The planned action is in protest at the government's decision to green light a third runway at Heathrow. They've only got two runways?
Small airport, man.
Figured they'd have more if they're supposed to be the country's largest. They plan to use small, lightweight toy drones flown at head height, 6 foot, within a 5 kilometer drone no-fly zone around the airport, but not within flight paths. The illegal drone flights will also be made in early morning at a time when there could not be any scheduled flights in the airspace to avoid the risk of posing a threat to an aircraft. Well, if you're not going to pose a threat to the aircraft, they're not going to shut the airport down.
And Heathrow is a 24-hour operational airport. They have red-eye flights. They're called red-eye flights for a reason. I don't know if you can schedule a time where there's not going to be a plane coming in or out.
So I wonder if the companies that shoot frozen chickens at the windshields they use when they're testing airplanes are now shooting drones at them as well.
Yeah.
You have to thaw out the drones as well?
No.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, you might actually have batteries going up if they hit with enough force to rupture.
Yeah.
So,
I love it. They're environmental activists, but they're boycotting something that's going to be the least additional infrastructure. Because Heathrow's already one of their biggest airports. That means there's already taxis there. There's already bus routes going there. There's possibly a shuttle service or a train station already nearby. If they build a new airport, guess what they have to do?
Yeah. No, this works out perfect, man. Fly drones in the air, delay flights, so planes are just circling overhead, burning fuel. Yeah, they're making total fucking sense. They really thought it through. Once again, a green movement
thinking the long-term game here. People are fucking idiots. They realize that they're getting the general public extremely pissed off. Like,
the activists point out that the government recently declared a climate emergency when it also pledged to reduce carbon emissions to net zero by 2050, arguing there is no chance of meeting that target if the UK expands current airport capacity. They're hoping the airplanes get more efficient too, I would think. A spokesman for the group, which is calling itself Heathrow Pause, told TechCrunch over 1,000 children are dying as a result of climate change and ecological collapse already every single day. That figure is set to significantly worsen. Where did that figure come from exactly? The government has committed to not just reducing carbon emissions, but to reducing them to net zero. This is clearly empirically impossible if they build another runway.
I wonder if they've ever thought that, you know, maybe these politicians who agree with them are just paying lip service to make these fuckheads go away.
Or, you know, get their vote.
They would never do that.
Politicians are completely honest.
I don't know, man. I'm starting to really dislike environmentalists more and more.
Okay.
Because inevitably, they're going to fuck with my life.
I just found the native ad in the article. Here's the next part. The type of drones they plan to use for the protest are budget models, which they say can be bought cheaply at UK retailer Argos, which, for example, sells the Sky Viper stunt drone for 30 euros, the Revel Go stunt quadcopter drone for 40 euros, and the Revel Sport 2.0 quadcopter, which comes with an HD camera, for 50 euros.
I love the native ad. This is just a fucking ad.
Yeah, just slammed right in the middle of it, right?
Wow.
The aim is for the protest to exploit what the group dubs a loophole in Heathrow's health and safety protocol around nearby drone flights to force it to close down runways and ground flights. Late last year, during a spate of drone sightings near the UK's second busiest airport, Gatwick, led to massive disruptions for travelers just before Christmas, after the airport responded by grounding flights. At the time, the government was sharply criticized for having failed to foresee weaknesses in the regulatory framework around drone flights near sensitive sites like airports. In the following months, it responded by beefing up what was then a 1 kilometer airport exclusion zone to 5 kilometers, and with that expanded no-fly zone coming into force in March. However, a wider government plan, blah, 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 blah. I'm not reading the rest of this. But, you know, what makes these people think that the airport isn't just going to call the cops to come out there and arrest them for flying drones? I mean, you're flying disposable drones, so you can just drop them and run if you have to, but come on.
Not long-term thinking, man.
I'm cool with this because I believe it's going to allow an expansion of a completely different business that I'm really cool with and hope takes off in more areas. So in the U.S., we have this problem as well. So there's this nice company that's bringing back falconing. And they have different birds of prey, you know, like red-tailed hawks and some golden eagles, with the chainmail gauntlets on their claws. And they're mostly used to get rid of geese in an area so that we don't have geese flying into planes. But they've also been trained to attack quadcopters. That's when they got the chainmail.
Like, then also train them to attack the people who are controlling the quadcopter?
Technically, because it is the same training method they use to train them to hunt. So you could. I'm not going to, because the handlers might also be then seen as food. And you don't want the animal you're working with to think, oh, that human's a whopper. Maybe this human is also a whopper.
I see your point.
So what'd you do with the raptor? We trained it to go for the eyes. Ah, that explains the scars.
The goggles there do nothing.
That's why the handlers now wear knight's armor while handling their birds. Because somebody decided the birds need to go after protesters.
You don't train them to attack the people. You train them to attack the controllers the people are holding.
They might confuse a cell phone for a controller. That could lead to bystanders having issues. What if you went for the protest signs? Don't they usually, they'll usually have some sign that they've got either gotten from a source group or made themselves. And a sign is something a bird ought to be able to recognize, not read, but they can recognize the general shape of a piece of cardboard tacked to a stick.
Probably. Ooh, and if they hit the bird with a sign, that's an additional charge. Most of these birds are protected. Because you can train most raptors to do this, like owls and crap.
That'd be fucking creepy as hell. You know, you've got your group out there flying drones, and a whole group of owls swoop in, take out your drones, and then start coming for you. You don't realize that they're going for the signs.
It's my letter to Nogwarts.
The best thing of this, though, is the climate change people are using drones and all that technology. The the people dealing with the protesters are using birds and nature.
And you just train the flying monkeys.
We need to breed those first.
Yeah.
I'm using existing technologies. I'm not. Whoever came up with the idea is, but I still back them.
Actually, there's a way simpler thing. They're just going to unban rifles in Britain so that people can shoot the drones down. Problem solved.
No, don't go with rifles. Shotguns.
Yeah, shotgun works too.
Works better. You get a nice little pepper on any of their little props.
Hey. Yeah, I have nothing.
Don't like me bringing the guns into it?
No, dude, the guns thing, I'm just thinking, like, they're burning more aircraft fuel, they're not fucking thinking this through. Like, it's same with the climate protesters here, blocking highways, like, there's idling cars.
If they're only going to fly them at head height, nobody's going to pay any fucking attention to them anyways.
Dude, it's the UK, their health and safety out the arse, man. Like, if someone's even seen walking too close to the fence, they'd shut everything down and call in a special reactionary squad.
See, I don't get that. I really don't get that. You know, if you're walking along the road and you're in the part that's wet, you don't need a fence to tell you not to go in the ditch. You're wet. You're in the wrong part. You figure this out. It's not hard. We're kind of off topic, aren't we?
Not really. I was just thinking of the failure. These idiots. Like,
all right.
I mean, it's just going to get harder and harder as we go along in the future for me not to punch an environmentalist in the throat. It's not my fault. It's theirs. Like, I'm trying to make it that I'm the victim here.
Well, there are the punching ones, you know, forcing their way into your into your notice, blocking traffic, trying to prevent you from being able to fly when you want. I mean, yeah, I get that.
It's going
to
end up in violence, man.
But yeah, eventually somebody's going to say, okay, these protesters are out here blocking traffic. They're costing me so much money. It's worth it to have somebody punch them in the face to break up the protest so that I can get back to work and I'll pay for that guy's lawyer.
At least I'm
going to
be moving. You know, even I'm handcuffed in the back of a cop car, at least I'm going somewhere. I'm not stuck in traffic.
Oh my God, it took me an hour and a half to get home.
Can I be stuck in traffic rather than going to jail? I'll listen to a couple more podcasts.
No, you're encouraging these people, madman.
Traffic was fucking brutal today, man. Anyways, trying to get out of the damn city so I can get home. Next article. This one's from ZDNet. AT&T employees took bribes to unlock millions of smartphones and install malware and unauthorized hardware on the company's network, the Department of Justice said yesterday. These details come from a DOJ case opened against Mohammed Fahd, a 34-year-old man from Pakistan, and his co-conspirator, Ghulam Jinwani, believed to be deceased. The DOJ charged the two with paying more than $1 million in bribes to several AT&T employees at the company's Mobility Customer Care Center call center in Brothel, Washington. The bribery scheme lasted from at least April 2012 until September of 2017. Initially, the two Pakistani men bribed AT&T employees to unlock expensive iPhones so that they could be used outside AT&T's network. The two recruited AT&T employees by approaching them in private via telephone or Facebook messages. The employees who agreed received lists of IMEI phone codes, which they had to unlock for sums of money. Employees would then receive bribes in their bank accounts, in show companies they created, or as cash from the two Pakistani men. The initial stages of the scheme lasted for about a year until April 2013, when several employees left or were fired by AT&T. That's when Fahd changed tactics and bribed AT&T employees to install malware on AT&T's network at the Bothell Call Center. Between April and October of 2013, this initial malware collected data on how AT&T's infrastructure worked. According to court documents unsealed yesterday, this malware appeared to be a keylogger, having the ability to gather confidential and proprietary information regarding the structure and functioning of AT&T's internal protected computers and applications. The DOJ said Fahd and his co-conspirator then created a second malware strain that leveraged the information acquired through the first. The second malware used AT&T employee credentials to perform automated actions on AT&T's internal applications to unlock phones at Fahd's behest without needing to interact with AT&T employees every time. In November 2014, as Fahd began having problems with controlling this malware, the DOJ said he also bribed AT&T employees to install rogue access points inside AT&T's Bothell Call Center. These devices helped Fahd with gaining access to AT&T's internal apps and network and continue the rogue operation for unlocking phones. The DOJ claims Fahd and Jawani paid more than $1 million in bribes to AT&T employees and successfully unlocked more than 2 million devices, most of which were expensive iPhones. One AT&T employee received more than $428,500 in bribes over a five-year period, investigators said. The DOJ said the two operated three companies named Endless Trading FZE, Endless Connections Inc., and iDevelopment. These companies were a front business for Swift Unlocks, a website that let users unlock iPhones from their carrier. Oh, fuck. I think I used that at one point back in the day. I think I did.
Paying for terrorism $1 at a time.
Whoops.
I think the first half of that they shouldn't be charged with. The whole, I paid an AT&T guy to unlock my phone. They're not breaking the law. It's completely legal to pay somebody money to do something for you. If the AT&T guy is contractually obligated not to do that, then he's in breach of contract. But I don't see how the Department of Justice is going after them for paying a dude to unlock their phone.
Well, I'm assuming those phones are probably stolen.
Yeah.
But the malware one, I would say, yeah, rake them over the coals, set them on fire, and take off their heads. The first part, I don't know if they did anything wrong.
In 2015, AT&T sued three employees for installing malware on the company's networks after the U.S. telco began investigating activities at its Bethel call center following an unusual number of phone unlocking operations it discovered back in October 2013 when supposedly the second malware strain was deployed. The DOJ stepped in after AT&T filed its lawsuit and opened an official investigation. Fahd was arrested in Hong Kong in February of 2018 and extradited to the U.S. on August 2nd last week. He now faces a litany of charges that may send him behind bars for up to 20 years. AT&T estimated it lost revenue of more than $5 million a year from Fahd's phone unlocking scheme. We have been working closely with law enforcement since this scheme was uncovered to bring these criminals to justice and are pleased with these developments, an AT&T spokesperson told ZDNet. The company said this incident did not involve access to customers' personal data. So, yep, there it is.
This proves AT&T are not paying their employees enough.
That's actually exactly what I was thinking.
Yep.
That is exactly what I was thinking.
That you'd risk your employment to do that. You aren't making enough money.
That's a fucking
Or you're a greedy
center.
Motherfucker.
Well, think about it, though. Okay. It's a call center, right? It's not like you're paying these people top dollar in the first place.
I mean, I wouldn't have the balls to infect my company's network. You know?
Well, they probably didn't tell them what they were really doing. It's like, hey, I'll give you $1,000. I just need you to take this little box in and plug it into your computer under your desk and leave it there for a couple of days.
I'm going to have to pass on that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to go with lack of balls. I'm just going to say I'm moral enough not to compromise my employer's computer systems.
Well, that's where you profile your target and find somebody who's got gambling debts or, I don't know, bad mafia ties or, I don't know.
I don't know. I do a lot of stuff to get money, but I don't know if I could actively harm someone or something.
Well, they might go, oh, it's not going to hurt anything. We're just using it to unlock a couple of phones. Help people out, you know.
That's harming my employer's business model. Now, I could sell drugs for you or, you know, mule or something. That's moral.
Well, what if, you know, now also think about it, too. If you were profiling these people, you wait till they post something. Am I a fucking boss at work? Hey, you want a way to get your back at your boss? That's how insider threat profiling works, man. You watch social media accounts and you wait for somebody who's, you know, giving
disgruntled.
An opening.
Disgruntled, gambling problems. Yeah, morally corrupt.
Desperate enough. Or, you know, there's always the blackmail route. Yeah, so saw you cheating on your wife.
You know, yeah, you see that hot piece of ass that's tapping? I got some fucking pictures, dude.
Yeah, so do we.
Rock on. Let's switch. You got some better angles? This one, my balls are kind of in the way.
Yeah, hopefully if you're profiling your targets like that, you would pick one that actually had a significant other that they were concerned about. But I'm going to show this to your wife. Yeah, she'll give me a high five. It's cool.
Polyamorous relationship.
It's like, hey, oh, you're only from one side. You need to check the other side. She was there. She was the one directing.
Yeah, her and her boyfriend. Dude's got a killer reanimator deck.
All right, anybody have anything on the AT&T malware before we move on? Take that as a no.
No, I'm good.
Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and I'll admit I was stretching a bit to find something for Dojo tonight, but that's okay. So, the first thing I have is a eBay seller who, this guy operates out of Poland, and I guess he has the facilities to produce these metallized stickers, so case badges, basically, but he's produced several. You know, some of them are kind of common, like logos, you know, Powered by Mario. It's got an 8-bit Mario on there. You know, PlayStation. Actually, I found this guy looking for badges for cleaning up a Commodore 64 that the metal pieces are all torn up on. But, you know, he's actually got a ton of stuff here. A couple of different graphics card logos, Raspberry Pi stickers. So if you're looking for some kind of a, like you're doing a case mod and you want some custom badges to put on the case, this guy would definitely be some place to start. And they're not expensive. Like these little case badges are like $4 or $5. And some of these look really good. So.
Is he like a home CNC machine or something?
I don't know. I don't know how he's cutting them, but they're cheap enough. I'm assuming he's able to do it in bulk.
Yeah. Either that, he's getting cut in China and selling them on here.
Maybe. But, you know, he's got, replacement logos for a lot of common laptops and stuff like that, too. So if you're restoring something and you need a piece of metallized logo to fill up a gap because maybe the old one's destroyed or something. Go ahead, BSV.
That could be a laser cutter engraver machine.
Yeah.
It certainly could be. And then he's just got the right kind of material to cut with it. Yeah, I get a kick out of the Nintendo characters on the Powered by badge because they're, you know, it's like the old Intel Inside logo.
Yeah,
but there was one of these badges. You know, he's got some Linux stuff on there. He's got a Ubuntu one. He's got a bunch of speaker labels too. So I imagine he's probably selling lots of those to people trying to clean up old speakers. So, yeah. But anyway,
Dreamcast stuff.
Yeah, just all kinds of interesting little labels here, and they're, like, not expensive. So if you're looking for, a case badge or something, this might be certainly worth checking out.
This amp goes all the way to 11.
And the second...
Yeah, four.
Huh?
Another man. three pages of badges.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting, worth sharing, especially if you're into case modding or just, you know, wanting to spruce up an old machine. And I was looking for a label and came across that guy. I'm like, all right, well, we can share this. And the second thing I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo, which I don't think I've covered before, and if you have a 3D printer, you know about this thing. It's a Tinkercad. And this is it's a web app. You know, you have to have an Autodesk account to use it. But it's a 3D modeling application that originally was meant for kids, but they've expanded out on it, and you can actually do some pretty decent modeling in it if you take your time to figure out how to use it. The idea is pretty simple. You have a library of shapes. You drag them into your workbench. You arrange the shapes, and you join them up, and you can then set some shapes to be a hole instead of a solid. And as you group them, it will join them up, and you ultimately build up an object, and you can... Because it scales to millimeters, you can measure whatever you're working with. So, like, making cases for things, or if you need to make a... I've made tons of simple little things with snaps, holders, battery covers, brackets, mounts, where it's quicker just to knock out something by dragging a couple of shapes into place than it is to, you know, break out the full-on CAD suite and start doing... you know, the parameters and sketches and all that stuff. And especially if you're doing 3D printing and you're not worried about getting super high resolution details. Or if you're using a program like Mesh Mixer and you need a model to start with, you could use this to generate a starting model as well. So not just for 3D printing, you know, if you need to generate OBJ files of certain sizes, it's certainly a way to go. No animation. It's not a full on it's not parametric at all. So it's just a basic modeler, but it's an easy one. It's free. And if you do 3D printing, it's certainly worth knowing. And that's all I've really got for tonight. So, of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC. Tonight in the IRC, we have myself, Sardonyx, Psychros, Herats, Iron Angel, and Madman. BSV, closing thoughts.
Just back on that global warming idiots. When they stated the statement of how many people are dying of global warming, I just imagine them hiring a military force called Global Warming to get the stats.
Yeah, we hired a division of the guys who used to work for Blackwater. The articles of incorporation were a little hard because they thought the name might be confusing. But, you know...
They're fucking rookie numbers. You need to get those numbers higher.
I love it. All right, Madman, closing thoughts.
They've started putting bars in grocery stores, and then those bars are hiring bands. I think this is amazing. And I thought of it 8 years ago, and corporate laughed at me. They were wrong.
Vindication! Yes! All right, are you? Closing thoughts. And are we doing IHN this weekend?
There is definitely no IHN this week. I'm being forced to take the weekend off and detach from the mothership. Apparently running around the house in a gas mask with a machete screaming about interdimensional pedophiles is upsetting my wife. So I have to detach and unplug for the weekend.
Well, you at least filmed it, right? We need that footage.
Yeah, it's up on 8chan.
Okay.
yeah, no real final thoughts, but yeah, I have nothing.
All right, well, let's see. That was the end of the show notes. We did our final thoughts. I think it's time to just start hitting buttons on the soundboard and close us out.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
I have testicular cancer.
Whoops.
I like that one.
Call the night.
Shut up, Wesley.